that we should be called the children of God. How great that we believe by faith, and we can be called the children of God. That is what we are. Sons and daughters in arms. Oh, by this we know that He gave up His life for us. How great the love the Father has poured out on us, that we should be called the children. How great is God's amazing grace, that we should be called the children of God. How great, that we believe by faith, that we should be called the children of God. Yes, we can be called the children of God.
Well, good morning to this beautiful new day the Lord has provided for us. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. We praise God for the gift of life and the gift of another day of life upon this earth. And welcome each and every one of you here worshiping with us this morning. Well, during this season of Epiphany in the church here, leading up to Ash Wednesday, the middle of February, each Sunday, we want to draw attention to our school and the great ministry that is going on there, and also to the scholarship fund. And so in light of that, we're looking at some different themes each Sunday, and today is purpose. And if you turn to page 13 in your bulletins, you'll see the layout of the various Bible passages that we're going to kind of think about just briefly before each service. But this morning under purpose, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. And this is in the context of during Peter's time, people were asking, well, where's Jesus? If he's really coming back, why hasn't he already come back? And so there was even sarcasm and people doubting and really questioning if the Lord would ever return. And then Peter, by God's inspiration, goes on to say, instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now think about those words, that really the primary reason that this day exists, or this coming week, if God allows it to continue to exist, isn't that we can get bigger houses, better jobs, you know, more money, but the primary purpose is for the sake of the lost, that more people would come to faith. And boy, I tell you, a Lutheran school, a Christian school, what an outreach to the community and an opportunity to bring people in that they can hear about Jesus. And we have an incredible teacher with us this morning from Trinity, Shannon Connor. And Shannon's got some things to share. Thanks for being here, Shannon.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
As you said, I'm Shannon Connor, first and second grade teacher. And thank you for allowing me to...
Yeah, it's on.
For allowing me to come to you this morning. Oh, what I want to share with you. So Pastor gave us a heads up that mine this week is purpose. And let me tell you, I don't know about you, but when I started thinking about purpose, I got on this slippery slope of pride. Thinking about what I do, what I bring, what I accomplish during the week. I don't want to be on that slope, because what you land in is not good. So what I wanted to do and what the Lord provided me with this morning was turning that back around and showing you what I get to see. It's not about me. It's about this. So I get to see these kids, but what I get to see, next slide please, is the true child. Next slide. This is what I get to see. The true child. And it brightens my day to see the eyes open and the childlike wonder when they get to stick their hands in the slimy pumpkin guts that we created in the classroom. That face right there. Their childlike wonder again when you show them technology and you open their eyes to a new program that is play, but it's learning. And they don't know that they've learned. I had a child leave the building the other day and told his mom, Mom, I had a great day because we didn't learn. We didn't do anything. She turned around and looked at me and I said, yeah, we did. They just don't know they did. The fact that I give them work, but I make it fun, and they're not happy about the work until they see the purple lap board that they get to use. Manipulatives. I give them a bunch of work, but they get to play with it, and they get to touch it and manipulate and move it and see how it all goes together and works, and then that's the face that I get to see. My beautiful assistant here, Miss Annette, that comes and helps, that technology piece, to see their eyes light up when they get that instant gratification of, I got it correct. Right here, let's not forget, I'm also the PE teacher for K1 and 2. I ask them to freeze, this is what I get to see. It's actually frozen in time, and they have the ball, but there's still smiles. Wow, all aboard. So, purpose. I get to have parents in the classroom that come and adore these children and spend their time helping. This was a train for Polar Express on Christmas that my children got to sit in and be a part of the Polar Express as they watch the movie, all from a parent's love. That's what I get to see. Without tears, if I can show you, I get to see families brought back together. As this father came back from deployment, I got to see his child open her eyes and see him for the first time in a year. I get to immerse my children in Bible stories. Now, this is very simple, but as I made reference to this throughout the Advent season and made reference to who and what and where, they were able to be transported back in time and into that setting so that they knew what I was talking about down to their very core. The face of an accomplished challenge. This was a challenge that I gave and the face that went along with accomplishing it. That's what I get to see. Throughout my day, I get to see so many wonders of children and Christ. And I wanted to share that with you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon. What, I wished I could go back to first and second grade, because I would love to have this young lady as my teacher. Yeah. Oh, Larry says that's because I don't do anything. Well, thanks again, Shannon, for sharing. And the kids have made envelopes for, if you would like to give towards the scholarship fund. And so these are really, you need to look at these close up. But they are out on the easel in the entryway, and you'll see it facing you as you walk out of the sanctuary. But if you would like to contribute to the scholarship fund, that would be awesome. And what that does is, there's many alternative forms of education. We've got public schools, we've got charter schools, and we've got Christian schools. But with us to function, we have to charge tuition. But we're looking and praying for a day when we could be tuition free, because the support would be so great. And that parents then, if they want to take this option, that money's not going to be a roadblock to them to do that. So if you would like to contribute to the scholarship fund, you can find these envelopes out in the entryway, and that would be greatly appreciated. And we pray God to guide you in that decision. Well, we gather here to worship this morning, and another special day about today is we are celebrating this Sunday as Sanctity of Life Sunday. Most congregations did it last Sunday, which is an anniversary date 45 years ago when abortion was legalized in this country through Roe versus Wade. Because of our scheduling this year, it worked better to observe Sanctity of Life today. So in your bulletins, you have an insert that looks like this. It's so easy to throw those bulletins aside and these just go in the trash. Please keep these on file somewhere, because there may be a time you run into a woman who has a is pregnant with child, feels all alone, doesn't know where to turn for help and support, and you can direct them to the Pregnancy Resource Center here in Greeley. And this is an incredible little pamphlet that you can give to them. So please keep these and have them on hand, because that day may come before you know it where you'll have opportunity to minister. Well, so we follow that theme today of the sanctity of human life, and especially focusing on when life begins upon the unborn in the womb. And I would invite the congregation to stand as we sing the opening song. Everything will be on the screen.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and
Wonderful new life in faith because Jesus lives. He has won the victory. We gather in the name of the one true almighty living God, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice.
Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?
But if you there is forgiveness, then you may be feared.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning.
O Lord of might and mercy, who made us to hope for life in you, we confess that we have sought hope in ourselves instead and stolen hope from our neighbors. We have sinned against what you command and against what you create. Our selfishness has closed our hearts, our ears and eyes and hands to your word of truth and love. As we have no hope apart from your grace, forgive us and redeem us for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Christ Jesus died for your trespasses and rose for your justification. And upon this your confession, and under his authority, as a called and ordained servant of Christ, I forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Our responsive psalm for this morning is Psalm 146, verses 5 through 9. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob,
whose hope is in the Lord his God,
who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them,
who keeps faith forever,
who executes justice for the oppressed,
who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless.
But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and love, that receiving what you have promised, we may love what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated now. We'll continue with our epistle reading for today.
The epistle reading this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 22. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revel your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And I would invite the congregation to stand now for the reading of our Holy Gospel for today. And that Holy Gospel comes to us according to St. Mark, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow,
And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown in the ground, on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in the shade." And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We are honored now to make confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all the worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
And you may be seated now as we continue with our sermon song.
Great. God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a lamb, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are cold. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
Amazing grace. And the theme that we follow this morning is to embrace grace. And praise God for the blessings of His grace. You know, we Christians have a high calling, a calling that literally deals with life and death issues. And maybe if we could have the embrace grace on the screen just before us this morning. But grace deals with things much greater than our physical life on this earth and physical death, but spiritual life, life eternal. And so these life and death issues weigh in the balance, but you and I have been called in a very special way to bring these issues forth, to bring the good news of God's grace to the world. And so today, in that context, in that foundation, we celebrate Sanctity of Life Sunday. And certainly it's a day that we can focus upon sanctity of human life issues, and we could have a whole series of issues to focus upon. But today, as I mentioned earlier, I'd like us to focus upon the beginning of life in the womb. What a miracle life truly is. Well, as we heard from the epistle reading this morning, 1 Peter 3, just beginning of that lesson, that reading that came before us a few moments ago, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord. You know, that's our calling in life, right there in a nutshell, that in our hearts that we would honor Christ the Lord in everything that we do, in all the ways that we think, in the ways that we approach other people, in the ways that we function in life, that it would all be built around bringing honor to Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. You know, Jesus has actually led us to pray that petition basically in the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. And in Luther's small catechism, Luther, as he gives a synopsis of the meaning of this petition in the Lord's Prayer, you see the words before you where Luther writes, God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also. God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we as children of God also lead holy lives according to it. And so really, Luther brings us to a twofold theme of how we honor the Christ the Lord in our everyday lives as God blesses us with life. And number one is to acknowledge and recognize the Bible to be the inerrant Word of God, that this is God's Word. It is absolutely trustworthy. And boy, in the world and culture that you and I live in today, everything is relative truth, you know? Whatever you believe, if it works for you, then that's truth for you. Doesn't stand up to God's Word, because there is only one truth, and that truth is absolute. And we as God's precious children are blessed and honored to know this great gift God has given, His revealed written Word in the Holy Bible. And through that same Word of God, as we are blessed to hear it and read it daily, hopefully in our lives, and as we gather in worship and hear it read as we have this morning and hear it proclaimed as we are doing now, that God equips us then to lead holy lives. He gives us a roadmap, if you will, through His Word in revealing His will and revealing the plan and the purpose that He has for you and me individually and for the church collectively. And so those two components, so important as we bring honor to Christ the Lord in our lives. Well, let's think about this for a moment. How is God's name kept holy with regards to life issues? And how is God's name kept holy with regards to the beginning of life in the mother's womb, as we are blessed to know and experience? Well, number one, what God reveals to us in the Word, and again, the world stands firmly against this in its presentation of evolution and saying that everything's a cataclysmic accident. It just all suddenly happened and came into being. But we go to God's Word, and at the very beginning of God's Word, in the first book of the Bible, the first two chapters, God makes it very clear. He just lays it out there that I am the creator of all life. Isn't that wonderful to know? We don't have to guess how this all happened. We know there is a Creator, and we are blessed to know the Creator. We gather in worship today in His name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three distinct persons, as we are blessed to know. God as He has revealed Himself. So He is the Creator of all things, the Creator of all life. And then as we read in Genesis 1 and 2, we find that God has created human beings in a very uniquely different way. You know, with all the other life, God said, let there be, and just like that. Boy, isn't God powerful? You think of the expanse of the universe, and God just says, let it be, and boom, it's there in place, in perfect order, as He has created it. But God didn't do that with Adam. Remember how God created the first human being? He takes dust and scoops it up from the ground, and God breathes into that dust the breath of life. A very intimate way that God has made us human beings. And in that is the whole teaching and truth and revelation of the soul, that we have been created in God's image in a very unique and special way. Evolution would say, nope, we're just a higher form of animal. You know, we have evolved over the billions of years from lower life to where we are now, and it's all an accident, not by God's standard. because God created us in this very intimate way, created Adam. And then how does God create the first woman? He doesn't say, oh, just, you know, let there be woman, or scoop up more dust and breathe into it the breath of life. But again, a very intimate way. We have the first surgery in Scripture. Adam's put to sleep. God takes a rib out of Adam, and out of that rib, he creates woman. And so this very intimate connection between man and woman, and in the context then, God explains marriage that he institutes. And within marriage that he has instituted, and by the way, unlike the world that's constantly debating what in the world is marriage, God created it. It's one man and it's one woman. And in the context of a one man, one woman relationship, in this special relationship of marriage, God allows us to do the most incredible thing, that out of love for one another, we get to be involved in the creation process, known as procreation. But God is the one that empowers it and directs it, and he is the creator of even every new life that has been born since Adam and Eve and conceived in the womb. In fact, if we go to Psalm 139, and we have that for the screen, but look at what God has to say about the beginning of life in the womb. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Think about that. The intimacy of God being with each one of us when our lives began in our mother's wombs. And God was right there making each of us the unique people that we are blessed to be. And the psalmist goes on, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And I love this. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days of my life were ordained for me. Before we were a thought in the wind to our parents, God already knew us from eternity past. And when we were created and our life began, God already knows how many days that we will live upon this earth. God is intimately involved and connected with our lives always. And then Psalm 51:5, David, it's actually a prayer of repentance. It's a confessional psalm. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. You know, many are debating, well, when does life begin? Well, can tissue be sinful? You know, and what does David say? At the point my life began, at conception, at that embryo, I was already a sinful human being. Why? Because I inherited original sin that has been passed down generation to generation. And so God clearly reveals through this psalm of repentance of when human life begins. It doesn't need to be debated. God clearly has revealed it. But you see, what happens is a lot of people don't want to accept God's truth. Or a lot of people want to just accept parts of it and push other parts away. But you know what happens? Whenever we begin to push God out of our lives, there's a void. And what's going to enter that void and fill it? But it's the darkness. It's the darkness of the world. It's the world of Satan and all of the deception that is out there. And what does that darkness look like? Well, first of all, it's denial of the Creator. And look at the darkness prevalent in our land that openly, boastfully teaches as fact evolution. You know, there's no creator. This is all a cataclysmic accident. And you know, that foundation changes totally the way then that we look upon life in all facets. And then, of course, there's the debate when life really begins. And it's still being debated in the scientific and medical world. You know, my most precious baptism probably I can ever remember was Jenna Anderson in Minnesota, my first call. And Jenna was born premature. Literally, her whole body fit in my hand. Imagine a body that long. And I ran to the emergency room where she was at in a little incubator. They lift her up out of the incubator, all the tubes connected. I dipped my finger in some water, and I got to baptize little Jenna. And then right after that, they put her on the Flight for Life helicopter, flew her to the Mayo Clinic and hospital, and then I went to visit her, and I experienced something I couldn't believe. It's all on the same floor. On one end of the floor, state-of-the-art hospital at the time, Mayo Clinic. I mean, this is where some of the most outstanding new type of medical procedures are available. They're really fighting to save Jenna's life. By the way, Jenna's a beautiful blonde gal, taller than me now, has a couple kids of her own. She's doing great. But they were trying to save her life. I kid you not, at the other end of the same floor of the hospital was the abortion area. And they were taking lives that were older than Jenna. Now, how does the scientific world deal with that one? It's a total contradiction. But that's the way darkness works. And it's a devaluing of life. You know, if we're just a higher form of animal, then we shoot deer, so what's the big deal? That's how darkness works in the world. Do you realize that 45 years ago, Roe versus Wade, abortion legalized, there's been over 59 million lives snuffed out in the womb. Think about that. 59 million. That's darkness. And then in 2015, California legislature, they put in a new law that every pregnancy care center has to have a big, bold sign placard for pregnant women to see when they come in that says the state of California will pay for your abortion, or we will give it to you at a great discount. Wow, what a deal. But it's deception. It is darkness. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, these life issues are never going to be resolved in the political world. It's not a political problem, it's a moral one. And the only way that we can be delivered out of the deception and the darkness is by God's grace. Amen. Yeah, amen to that. Grace. And what does grace look like? Well, I have an acronym, and there it is. I love it. Where you apply a word to each letter of a word, and God's riches at Christ's expense. That's grace. Or we could think of it in terms of God being not only pro-life, he is the author of life, but he is also pro-love. I think in the church a lot of times, Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, we think, yeah, we're pro-life, and you know we have people out there marching with the signs and whatever, but how often do we think about pro-love? God's grace is pure pro-love from the God Almighty himself that is extended to, offered to the world. It's by grace alone that we can be brought out of the deception and out of the darkness in which this world lives and embraces for the most part. And boy, we can't miss it when we walk in our sanctuary to see the cross. As Peter went on to say in his epistle, revealing Jesus shed his blood for us, he died for us. And he did that not only for us, but the sins of all people, and all sin, not just part of it. Jesus, in his journey to the cross, out of grace, out of unconditional love for the world, died for everyone. His shed blood at the cross covers every single sin that has ever been committed, is being committed, and will be committed before Jesus returns again. And so God says to the world, I love you. And I desire that you would receive the gift that I place in your very lap. You know, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul writes these words, and you see them there before you. I have been crucified with Christ. You know, you may want to read Romans 6 today, because this is really a baptismal text right here. I have been crucified with Christ, meaning our old sinful nature, our old sinful flesh. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. What a transference takes place here by God's grace. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Wow, that's humbling, isn't it? It's a reminder to us that apart from Christ, apart from God's unconditional love, we would be wandering out there in the darkness, being consumed by the deception of the world. But God, through the waters of baptism, through hearing his word, he has changed our lives. He has brought us to faith that we can see and know his word of truth, that it's absolute, it is trustworthy. And suddenly all of these issues that are a fog in the world become crystal clear by God's revelation to us. We have been rescued from the darkness and brought into the light. And by the way, that should then give us a whole different approach in reaching a world that is still separated from Christ, that is still caught up and consumed by the darkness. And what are we called to do but to, in our hearts, to honor Christ the Lord? To embrace God's grace, which is pro-life and pro-love. And think about this for a moment. You know, in terms of life issues, foundational, right, is to support marriage, to reclaim marriage. Do you realize that I think it's the state of Georgia I read in the headlines? I may be wrong on the state, but it was definitely an article last week. In their legislature, they're considering throwing away the marriage license. They are so fed up with all the arguments about, no, this is marriage. No, this is marriage. No, we're going to sue you if you don't recognize. And the state's finally saying, we're done with it. We're not even going to recognize a license anymore. That's where darkness goes. But isn't it wonderful that we have the truth? And we know that marriage is legit. It is God's design. It's his institution. And it's one man and one woman. I don't care what the world says. And through that relationship of love, and it's the foundation for the procreation of new life. Do you realize 85% of women who go through abortions are unmarried? You see, that's a symptom of a much greater problem. Here's 85% of these women do not have a man probably in their life for the most part. They've bailed on him. And now they're going through this pregnancy all alone. And boy, what a lonely feeling. How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to raise this child? I don't know how to do any of this. And oftentimes it's very young women. But how does the church approach that? Well, I'd like to read a quote, and this is so heart-wrenching, from a woman who had two abortions, and here's what she writes. When I walked into the room and uncovered myself for the procedure, I broke down. I asked God to forgive me for my sin. I didn't want to abort my baby, but I knew I had to. I wouldn't wish a surgical or a medical abortion to my worst enemy. I've been emotionally distraught, unattached to life. Now, how does the church respond to a woman like this? Well, if you go to the pregnancy care centers, you know what they say? The last place most women want to go to reach out to find help is, guess what? The church. Why? Because they perceive they're going to be judgmental. They perceive we're going to be judgmental, and I would imagine tragically in some cases that has happened. But you know, you can't be judgmental if you embrace grace. Because if we know grace, we know that we too would be condemned and lost forever. It's only by God's intervention and rescue. I think of Jesus, you know, when the adulterous woman, they were going to put her to death by stoning, and Jesus said, what? Whoever hasn't sinned can cast the first stone. And what'd they do? They all laid their rocks down and they walked away. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we know grace. We're not in the dark. And here's these women that go to these clinics, and sad to say, there's times when Christians are being so hateful and, murderer, look what you're doing, and the hateful signs. Instead of just walking up to that woman and saying, can't imagine what you're going through, but I want you to know that we love you and that we're here and we want to help you save that child. That's how Christ is honored in this issue of the sanctity of human life. And I would imagine statistically in this room, there are women maybe who have gone through an abortion, and there are men here that have supported that or encouraged it, or men that deserted women years past and left them alone. Is that the unforgivable sin? No. And if you've been carrying that guilt and that shame all these years, I want you to let it go. To embrace grace. And this morning, you know, it's easy to talk about these things, but let's put it into action. And Angela Erickson has an incredible story to share with us this morning about embracing grace. Angela.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. Life issues have always been a really important thing to our family, something in our family's hearts, mostly because my grandmother, Bernice, who's a member here, was adopted. And so growing up, I always had such a positive view of that and what that could be. A blessing to both sides of the family, and had always thought maybe I probably will adopt someday when I'm older. And I, some of you know, not all of you, that Kyle and I were foster parents down in Texas, and over about 7 or so years, we fostered 11 kids, and we're blessed to be able to adopt the 4 that we do have now. Such blessings to our lives, and amazing testament to women who did choose life. And I didn't mention this earlier, but Annalisa's birthday is January 22nd, so that anniversary of Roe versus Wade. So that very first child who came to our home, knowing that that was her birthday was on that anniversary, was kind of neat, of a living representation of life, of choosing life. But again, it all came back to my grandmother and her story, and those of you that know her would know that she would never have gotten up here to talk in front of people about her story, but since she is now with Jesus, I don't think she would mind if I share a little bit about her. Right before Christmas, 1926, she was given to a family in Topeka, a Charlotte and Henry, and the baby that they had waited for. And she grew up with them in a loving Christian home, went to Lutheran schools growing up, and eventually went to Concordia University in Seward, Nebraska, where she met my grandfather, Lou, and they became teachers, and they taught at several different schools around the country, and were here at Trinity, and raised her kids in a Christian home, too, and her grandkids and great-grandkids now, too, are here at Trinity, so a neat chain of God's love being poured out through the generations.
But her adoption was something she did not want to talk about, and her birth family was something she did not want to talk about, and she did not want to discover anything. And part of it was, she said, I was very blessed in my adoptive parents, and they loved me, and I had a wonderful home, and I don't want to disrespect that. But the other little part was that she once said that she didn't want to go look for her birth family because she would just be a reminder of all the shame that she brought on them, and that she didn't want to bring that on somebody, and she didn't want to be reminded of that, of how much she brought shame and guilt on her birth mother and her birth family. But a year ago, she came to my dad and said, I would like to find out about my birth family. And they were able to find her birth certificate, and then through some work on Ancestry.com, able to connect with her birth mother's family. And she was able to meet, just a couple months ago, a half-brother. So very neat that that she was able to do that towards the end of her life. But none of her siblings or her children, her birth mother's children, knew about her at all. They never knew that their mother had had another child. And even though she was one of 9 children, her birth mother was, none of her siblings knew. And through a little bit more investigation, they found out that she was shuttled off to a girl's home to have the child. And not sure what happened, but then through further investigation, my father found her several years later listed as a servant in someone else's home. So her family sending her off, we're done with you, and she was sent to live with somebody else and was their servant until she found her husband and married somebody, had 4 kids, and then was able to have a wonderful life of Christian family, Christian home, that God was able to use her as well. And my grandmother's birth siblings talk about how they had a wonderful home life too, with Jesus being at the center. So God can use all of that. But that has hit my heart, to have somebody have to experience that sent away from their family that they thought they were just bringing shame, and then to have my grandmother feel that way about herself too. And that just hurts my heart when I hear that Christians are not really pro-life because all we care about is being against abortion, but then once the baby's born, we don't care about the baby, we don't care about the mother, we don't care about the homeless, we don't care about poverty. And that's not the church I see, and that's not the Christians I see, but it's very sad that some people would have that perspective. But just thinking, how can we be the hands and feet of Jesus to prove to the world that that's not true, that we are about love and embracing grace? And I saw a friend who's a pastor's wife down in Texas posting about an organization that she helped start in her church called Embrace Grace. And this is actually their logo, and I wanted to find out more information about this. This is a Bible study and support group series for young, single, pregnant girls to come and be in God's word and be connected with others who are going through what they are or have gone through what they are going through, and to be set back on the path that would be most beneficial for them. And on their website, this is just so neat, echoing what Pastor had said, what if the church became a refuge for these weary hearts? What if the church was a hospital for the broken? What if the church embraced these girls and provided support and encouragement while honoring them for choosing life? And just such a neat thing. So it's a 12-week Bible study series that they go through, and then eventually graduate onto a group called Embrace Life, which is for single mothers. But some of the things they talk about, a topic of habitation, mending their wounds, healing the past mistakes, realization of Satan's lies, that the girls believe that, well, my life is over, I can never be what I had planned, or that my church will never love me, my family will never love me, my pastor will never love me, that all those are Satan's lies. Perceiving ourselves, perceiving how we think others perceive us, how we think God perceives us now, dealing with the guilt and shame of when we make mistakes. Testimonies from other girls who were young single mothers. Expectations, trusting in God for your future, that God has a plan for you and the baby as well. Revelation, discerning between the lies of the world and what God's word tells us. And conviction, having strength in your faith, being able to be less susceptible to temptations and things in the future. So many neat things, and really providing a community and support for the girls, whatever happens to them. If the girls choose to parent their child, they make sure that every baby has a baby shower, that these things that the baby's going to need are provided. Or if they're going to choose adoption, they have a what they call a celebration of life, and have a send-off for and a blessing of that woman and the baby that she's been brave enough to choose that too. So just a neat organization, a neat thing that we're now going to try to get off the ground here at Trinity. And I had been sitting on this for several months. Okay, I'd like to maybe pursue this, see what's going on. So I finally emailed the Crisis Pregnancy Center here in town, and their director of client services emailed me right back and said, we have been praying and praying about this organization and for somebody in Greeley to step up and do this because there's nothing like this in Greeley right now. And so it's so neat to hear. And I went there to visit with them, and everybody kept coming up to me, oh, we heard that you might be doing this program. This would be so neat. This is what Greeley needs. And they told me that about on average throughout the year, if you average it out, they probably have 3 to 5 girls every day come in to have their services. So many girls, even just here in our own town, that an organization or a resource like this would be so beneficial to them. So I would love for your prayers as we get this started, and if any of you are interested in being a part of it, whatever it would be, donate a snack or even come help out with it, you can see me and talk to me, or if you have any questions, feel free to ask me. But very excited for all of us to pursue ways every single day that we can be embracing grace and be pro-love to everybody and be Jesus' hands and feet. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Angela. And wow. Bible study, we're talking about the puzzle pieces. And I mean, God's clearly putting pieces together there as he brings people and organizations together. So thank you, Angela, for sharing that. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And I would invite at this time, if you're able, for the congregation to stand for some prayer time. And let us pray. Oh, dear Lord God, we can't even begin to comprehend the greatness of your love for us and for the world. But we thank you, Lord, that through your love, you have changed our lives literally for eternity as you have brought us out of darkness into light, from eternal condemnation in hell to eternal life and glory in heaven with you. And in the meantime, Lord, that we are blessed to be citizens of your kingdom of grace on this earth, to embrace grace in our lives and to go forth and share the good news of your grace with whomever you give us opportunity to do so. Lord, we pray that each of us individually and your church here and throughout the world collectively would be that bright shining light of your grace in the midst of a world of darkness. Lord, we pray that this very day, as you give us another day, that many more would come out of the darkness, out of unbelief, into faith in the light, your grace that you provide. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we hold up to you this morning the Pregnancy Resource Center here in Greeley and other centers like them throughout this state and throughout this nation and the world. Lord, how wonderful that women dealing with these issues can come to these centers. But Lord, we pray that there would be godly people at these centers, and we thank you for the Pregnancy Resource Center here in Greeley, biblically based, and the tremendous ministry that they serve to this community. Lord, we pray your blessings upon Embrace Grace, and that as a congregation, as our family here at Trinity, as this community in this place, that women can know they have a safe place to come where they will be loved and supported and encouraged and equipped and redirected in their lives by your intervention, Lord, through us. Lord, we pray that you would guide and direct Angela as she continues to pursue this journey and us along with her. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we hold up to you this morning all the names and situations that are listed in the bulletin. And Lord, you know each and every one of these, your precious people, and the trials that they are currently going through in their lives. Lord, we pray your intervention, and we most of all pray your comfort and peace to be with those who suffer, that they may know without doubt the greatness of your love for them and your full awareness of their condition. Lord, we ask that for Charlotte Robinson, who is recovering from a very serious flu, for Keith Lambert and his mother, Vera, who are both dealing and struggling with some very debilitating conditions in their lives, for Brenda and Brett Schmidt's nephew, Mike, who is battling pancreatitis, and in light of that, also cystic fibrosis, and just all the complications that these things cause physically in Mike's body. Oh Lord, be with each one of these, and most of all, may they know your presence with them. May they be encouraged and uplifted in spirit. You are the God of miracles. You could speak the word, Lord, and they would be instantly healed. But Lord, we know that you have a purpose and a plan and your timing and everything. And give all these, as well as us, patience and perseverance, seeking your will. And Lord, we pray that your will would be done in the lives of these for whom we pray. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the ministry that you entrust to us at Trinity Lutheran Church and School, and just for the incredible teachers and staff that we are blessed with in this place. And we ask, Lord, we know that you will provide the resources, but through the scholarship program, as we bring light to that now, we pray, Lord, that a lot of support will flow in, that many more opportunities will open for families that choose our school, really your school that we are blessed to have, to teach their kids. Oh Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for those who grieve as well, and the family of James Raywerts, one of our homebound people, 93, passed away into glory this past week. And Lord, just be with this family in their time of grief and uphold them and encourage them. And in the face of death, may they see ever so clearly the victory that you have won. Oh Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for missionaries here and throughout the world, but especially today for John Wolfe and his family in Africa. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is spreading across the continent of Africa. We thank you, Lord, for the support that is given, that Bibles and catechisms can be brought to many refugees and pastors that are in that region of the world. And wherever your word is, Lord, people's lives are being changed. Your word does not return void. And we pray your continued blessings upon these ministries. O Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, you are the Lord of life. And on Tuesday, Katie Yunker is celebrating her 16th birthday and acknowledges you, Lord, along with her family, that you are the one that has given her this precious life and preserved her life for these 16 years. Lord, we pray your special blessings upon Katie and her family, upon all those who celebrate special occasions in their lives, as we recognize all these come from you and we give you glory for them. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, be with us and guide us in our journey, that everything that we do and say would be done in a way and spoken as such that you would be glorified as we continue our lives upon this earth. May your will, Lord, be done among us. In your name we pray, Jesus, and trust. Amen. You may be seated and we continue with the offering.
my strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. I will praise you with all of my life. I will praise you with all of my strength. With all of my life. With all of my strength. Oh, my heart is in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you.
And if you are able, I invite the congregation to stand for prayer. And let us pray. O blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, after he had supped, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
May be seated.
Are you burdened and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing Alleluia! Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your holy name. Your rich in love and Your slow to anger.
your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name.
And I invite the congregation to stand for prayer. And let us pray. We give thanks to You, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore You that of Your mercy, You would strengthen us through the same in faith toward You and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with His favor and give you His peace. Amen. Amen.
My Jesus, my Savior,
all of my days. I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I have, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. Sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
God's peace and have a wonderful week.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.